Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Willkommen zu another episode of Die Early Work. This is English. Don't adjust your headphones just yet, okay? This is just me demonstrating my range on account of a German character that Joel had in a play we're about to hear. This is the podcast in which I ask my performer friends and colleagues to come along and read out the creative things they wrote when they were younger, usually teenagers. So far, we've had Lolly Adafope reading chapter after chapter of fan fiction about a TV show called Everwood, and we've had Tom Rosenthal inventing a genre called cricket rap. Go back and listen to them and more. They're very funny. But this week, it's celebrity unmasker Joel Dommett, who is here to unmask his own past by delving into his old document. And he, luckily, his mum found a play that they wrote together somehow. It's absolutely mad. It's insane. And I got to be involved in it and read some of the parts. So that was very nice for me. I hope you enjoy it. See you in a bit. Welcome this week to Early Work, my guest, Joel Dommett.
Straight in, loving it.
Probably best known to our listeners for when I interviewed him on Bring the Noise, the Green Room.
Oh, mate,
would you
that
say?
Fucking true.
Yeah, that's how you got all the work you're getting now, right? That's
yeah.
Like the Masked Singer, they saw you on that.
Yes.
They saw you being interviewed on
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Have you ever been involved in a show that has so much money on it that they haven't... extra show for shows that that's not a hit yet.
It's not doing well.
It's
at
not
even all.
Been out.
It's not been on. Let's,
no one's
let's
watching
get an
it.
Extra show.
Imagine no one's watching
for the
main
benefit
show.
Of the listener, basically, there was a show called Bring the Noise that Joel was a regular on. Yes. It was like a music, big budget music show for Sky.
Yep.
Ricky Wilson from the Kaiser Chiefs was the host. Joel was one of the regular comics.
Along with Nicole Scherzinger.
Also one of the regular comics. There was a spin-off show, an Extra Factor version of it called Bring the Noise, the Green Room, where quite literally... a cupboard next door to the studio, me and a presenter called Poppy Jamie would sit in there and then we'd have to get our guests to come in and sniff stuff with a blindfold on and tell us what it is. Stuff like that. It was pretty highbrow stuff.
Highbrow stuff.
I look back on those days with absolute dread. How
it's
did it make you feel?
So mental.
Really
think
stressful
about that
experience,
show.
Wasn't it?
So stressful for me because every day I was involved in like full on like sketches, songs. I was singing on stage. I was dancing. I was like just trying to jizz out content.
Mm.
It was mad. And then they had this extra show that they're like, can you just pop into extra, whatever it's called, Green Room? I was like, all right. And I'd go on and you'd interview me. And I'd be like, no one's watching this stuff.
Yeah, if to be honest, it's just never been popular when I interview you. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming on. Speaking of jizzing out content, so here we are.
Here we are. It's a great name
Joel
for a show,
Joel also very
actually.
Well known for when he used to pick me up from Herne Hill Station, drive me to his house so we could write on a different panel show together that was reality TV based. Do you remember
that? Reality Bites.
Was that what it was called? Reality Bites.
Mate, what a show.
Mate, we've done a lot of very strange things together.
Again, another show that was cancelled after its first season. I've done a lot of stuff that's cancelled after its first season.
With a perfect combo. With a perfect duo. This is the last episode of this.
Yeah. No, it's Reality Bites, I think, was a strange one where they were like, everyone's liking panel shows. Everyone's liking reality shows. Let's make a panel show about reality shows.
Turns out. The opposite audience.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
They didn't want it.
I think also it was too edgy for Stephen Mulhern. Stephen Mulhern hosted it, and I think
that's a great name for a podcast.
Yeah,
it's too edgy for Stephen Mulhern,
and he was hosting it. It was ITV2 late nighty, celeb juicy, but he was also trying to sort of do, you know, catchphrase,
right?
And so it's
hard. So do you mean people would make jokes on it, and then he'd react a bit like, oh, he'd be a bit shy?
I know. I think that he was great on the show. But then
didn't necessarily suit what he's known for.
Yeah, I think it was too edgy for Stephen Mulhern, which is that's not my new
catchphrase.
Joel Dommett, too edgy for Stephen Mulhern.
Or maybe Joel as his alter ego Josh Dammit, which was invented in the Manchester student scene when we were doing some student gigs at Manchester University. All it is Joel would put on some glasses that belonged to another comedian called Mark Smith. And then when he went on stage, when he was wearing his glasses, for some reason, he would just become an edgy comic. Joel, you're not really known for being an edgy comic, especially at the time. You're a very anecdotal, enthusiastic comic.
Still very much
I'd say that's still the case.
Still very much in that bracket, yeah.
And then you put these glasses on and suddenly you're slamming people. You're saying, you look like shit to people in the front row. You're saying, get out. And then you take in prisoners. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Josh Dammit,
my angry alter ego.
Has that alter ego come out since then? That was about 6 years ago, I'd say.
I'm thinking it's going to come back when my eyes get worse.
Oh, no.
It's only when I wear glasses.
If you don't maintain 20/20 vision, no. Your career changes. Suddenly you're Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Suddenly I turn into this absolutely angry person.
Doing a Netflix special called Triggered.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right, Joel, if I had to guess what you were like at school, yes. And I do because it's the first format point of this show.
Thank you.
I would say the following. I've written this down.
Okay, here we go.
The first sentence is just one word. Weird. Second sentence, hanging out with Steve Dunn all the time, doing stuff like making your own zip wire.
Yes.
And encouraging each other to jump off things you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You're the sort of person, I think, who would pretend to do skateboard grinding on a curb in just your trainers.
100%.
Overuse the word fricking and freaking because you wanted to be expressive but you didn't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably wrote a lot of lyrics. Am I correct?
Yes. You're almost correct on all of those levels. Definitely used to be jumping off stuff. That was super fun. I think I may have told you this before. Me and Steve used to put on science goggles and run around school jumping on stuff. And we called it extreme walking. We invented parkour.
Oh, really?
That we invented parkour.
Just because you were jumping on stuff.
We'd jump on stuff, and basically we'd jump off the things, touch our trainers, and go and say safe.
This is what I meant with the grinding on the curb thing, right? Is it you were doing it? Because I used to do this as well. I used to like go up to a curb and then just be like making the noise.
Yeah.
And then like just like kind of shuffle along it. But there was one you could do where you cross your legs over.
Oh.
And then I would say the word unity, because apparently that trick was called unity.
It's called unity on rollerblades. Absolutely.
Oh, really? I wondered why I called it unity.
Yeah, I was a rollerblader. Yeah, that was called a unity.
Oh, we are so pathetic. This is tragic. Wait,
I sort of wasn't very good at rollerblading. I had friends who were really good at it, but I was just...
Is that popular at your school, rollerblading?
Yeah.
Not skateboarding?
Before skateboarding. Wow. You probably were into, like, because I'm a bit older than you. So, like, rollerblading was in and it was cool. And then suddenly it went out. And then it was, I also had to stop rollerblading. My doctor told me to stop rollerblading because I had,
and that was the end of a dream.
That was it. You know, I listened to my doctor.
And your career was over.
This is rollerbladers.
You're saying it as if you're like a hot prospect in football or something. Yeah. Who's just like, sorry, but you'll never walk again.
I'm sorry. You'll never jump down that two set.
I'm sorry, but you'll never blade again. Your blading days are over. Your father, or whatever you said. That's it for you.
Father Nugans.
Father
no
Nugans.
More Father Nugans.
Father Nugans with a
V. I think it's Father Nugans with a V. Any rollerbladers on there, get in touch with the early work team. I think it's Father Nugan. So I stopped rollerblading because my doctor told me to, because I had Osgood Schlatus in my knees.
Is that another trick? All right. Is that another one of your
Yeah, Osgood Schlatus is when you sort of fall on your knees and then you can't walk for 6 months.
You stay in bed for ages. Yeah.
I've still got it now. If you feel my knee, I've got like an extra kneecap.
Feel my knee.
Touch my knee. See?
Oh my God. that's actually hideous. How did that not come up in the jungle?
Yeah. It probably did. Probably edited it out. It's Yeah, I've got extra knees.
That's really weird.
I've got so everyone weird. At school used to call me egg leg. And basically, it's actually soft when you're younger because it's your, I think it's your muscles are growing too fast for your bones, or your bones are growing too fast for your muscles. One of them. I'm going to say muscles growing too fast for your bones.
Yeah, that's what you're like now.
Yeah.
You're CrossFit.
Massive. And so it then just like really, really hurts basically. And I had to stop doing PE for a bit. And then also, then I had a operation on my leg because I had a weird lump in my leg. My mum, it was on New Year's Eve. I remember I was in some sort of weird social club with like that my dad used to go to. And my mum went, grabbed my knee and went, my leg and went, Happy New Year. And she went, oh, what's that? And I had a lump.
This sounds like the start of a porn.
It does sound like a start of a porno. And my mum.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, what's that?
Happy New Year. 10, 9.
Oh, don't. We can count from 5. And so I had to get that operated on. So I had a little lump in my leg. Operated on. And actually, they just didn't know what it was. And they got it. They had a CT scan. Did loads of like the. I kept on having to go back to the doctors, and they were like, I don't know what it is. So they were like, we're going to take it out. We still don't really know what it is, but we're going to take it out. And so they operated on it, and they gave me a number to call to find out what it was, because they were going to send it to like a university lab or something. And I never called the number, so I never found out what it was.
Well, lucky for you, we've got the number right here. We're going to call them on air now.
What?
So, egg leg, let me ask you this.
Oh, God.
Because you were... that's it for the rest. That's what's going to come up as on the podcast.
Egg leg.
Episode whatever, egg leg.
Because it used to really hurt when I fell over on it. If I fell onto the egg, it would hurt so much. And so everyone would joke that I had eggs in my legs and that when I fell on them, they broke.
Good God. I mean, this sounds right up
Used to go
street.
Into the school sports hall at lunchtimes and rollerblade around in circles.
Yes,
yeah.
There was a roller disco that we went to.
Yeah.
That was... a bunch of kids come and rollerblade around in a circle on a Saturday night.
Yeah, just around a circle. That's it. That's
and then occasionally, like really confident guys like me, edgy legends, would, which is actually what egg leg is short for. the like instructors, who, by the way, when you're like 12, the instructors are 45 years old.
Yeah.
They're clearly 16 in hindsight, but they're the coolest people. And they would like sometimes like put a hockey stick on two cones and you could try and jump it.
Jump it.
And I was always jumping them.
Mate, you must have got so much women.
Well, there weren't women there. It was a roller disco.
Okay.
Can't stress that enough.
I think basically I've spent my entire life trying to be as cool as someone at the roller disco going backwards.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And when you're, like, swishing your legs.
Like, oh.
God, it's really, like, 80s movie, this, but it was a different world. Once your roller skating career ended because of your various leg issues,
yep.
Did you turn to creativity as an outlet?
I just went to skateboarding then.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
Because right, skateboarding's in. Sorry, surely that's the same problem. You fall on your knees and you're fucked.
But the doctor said I was okay with skateboarding because it's not the constant impact on both legs. And it's so apparently it was better. And so I skateboarded then. And I became known as the manual king of Thornbury. Because I was really good at going on two wheels. And because basically...
Well, are we talking a front one or a back manual?
Could do front or back.
Front or back.
Front or back. We're back in the porn again.
Five. Four. Front or back, quick.
Front or back, what you going to do? Oh, someone's already in the front.
Fuck it. That's not going in.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Oh,
yeah, I'll be in. That's not going in was also a quote from the porn.
Oh, yeah.
So you've skateboarded for a bit?
Skateboarded for a bit. Manual King of Thornbury. I basically, everything I've ever done in life, I've not been very good at. Genuinely, all my life, I've been someone who's had to try really, really hard to be average. Like, in school, I was a kid that revised, had after-school tuition, I had all the stuff. Like, I was really trying. I really dedicated myself to learning. Like, I wasn't that naughty. Got C's.
Mm.
Like, and I'm like, there's people that are fucking naughty and getting A's and B's,
yeah,
and they're not revising. And so that is the same with skateboarding. I wasn't naturally like gutsy, so all my friends were just naturally so good at it. I would get there 2 hours before them. I'd get to the skate park way before everyone else and was worse than them. But I was putting in the extra time to try and be better.
And this is such a good story for children to hear, because you hear people talk about, like, you got to be first one on the court, last one off the court if you want to make it. Kevin Hart being like, you got to get up at 4 a.m. hit the gym, you got to write all day, and you got to go out, and you going, yeah, or you can do all of that and still fail.
Be bad. But then weirdly
sometimes that just happens.
I wasn't naturally good at it.
You're very naturally bad at it. Effortless at taking off Jason Manford's mask, if that helps.
Thank you.
That's the most, that's very effortless and natural.
Thank you.
Are you good doing extra hours practicing that?
That was what I was doing at the skate park.
Yanking off hedgehog heads.
It's like, genuinely, it's the first thing I think that I've ever, I mean, it's taken a long time to get to the point where the Masked Singer felt like it didn't feel easy, but it felt like it was, I felt like it was part of what I'm doing now. And
compared
it's okay.
to motocross.
Oh my God, I'm so bad at motocross.
Of
like,
course.
Imagine. Bad at it.
I don't think the most talented motocrossers look like they're doing well at it. It all looks like a mistake.
So stressful, man. Every time you fall off, you really hurt something. Imagine my eggs.
Yeah.
They were breaking all the time.
Imagine my horrible. Eggs with Stephen Mulhern.
So did that, bad at that, tried again to do it for longer. But then when I started comedy, I installed that same amount of effort, and it was the first thing ever that I was like, oh, the more effort I put in, the better I get at it, instead of everything else I've done. I've been like, the more effort I put in,
I stay the same.
So it was like, I just used to gig all the time, like twice a night, three times a night. My first like 3 years, I was just gigging so much on this little bike that I got from a charity shop. I'd ride around from gig to gig and just.
And where had you learned the skills to do that?
All the motocross. It's
thank
all
God
coming together.
You did. Skateboarding from gig to gig.
Oh, this podcast is just making me want to rollerblade.
Yeah,
I can't stop thinking about it.
That's the whole purpose of it. Actually, weirdly, you've probably not listened to them, but every episode someone talks about how they used to rollerblade.
Really?
No, of course not.
God damn it.
This is the first time it's
maybe
come
up. Maybe I should
up.
Do a podcast where we rollerblade whilst we talk.
Yeah.
I feel like, has that been done?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Rollerblade.
You could try it.
Let's think of a good name.
Think
for
of a pun. With pod in rollerblading. Pod. I'm going to leave this with dead air while you come up with
pod.
It.
Poddy blading blade.
So when you were at school, were you doing anything? Were you writing anything? in between, in the moments you fall off your skateboard, would you ever be like coming up with poetic lines and coming up with shit?
I became a drama kid. I felt like it was the only thing, because I was trying so hard at everything else and being average at it. It was the only thing that I did where I felt like I kind of had a naturalness to it. I wasn't necessarily a confident kid, but I felt like I found that easy compared to other things, mainly because you're just pretending to be something.
Yeah.
And it's easy, isn't it? And and then it was also, it felt like it was the lesson that you can kind of pretend to be naughty.
Mm.
There was this one kid called Willem who was so naughty. He was from South Africa. It was Willem, that's how you pronounce it, but it was spelled with a W. And our drama teacher never got on board with that. Just always called him Willem. All the other teachers didn't get it. It was like nobody told him in the staff room that day that he arrived. He was Willem. Everyone would be like, it's Willem. And he'd be like, okay, Willem. Just it wasn't.
We just was having none of it.
Absolutely having none of it. And one point, Willem was so naughty in drama because he was like allowed to be. But he would incense the drama teacher. And one point, there was just a moment where the drama teacher just fucking snapped. And he just, I remember still, I can picture it. He snapped and just went, Willem, stop fucking about! And we were like, oh my God, the drama teacher just snapped. It was absolutely brilliant.
Great.
It's just so tough
to
be a teacher.
Such a fun time. So good.
So tough. Listen, if any teachers are listening to this, then you're a great, great person, and I'm so sorry.
So what's this then? So you've brought this play. So how old are you when you would have written this?
I think I was 11. Basically, there was a... probably 12. There was a drama group that I joined, a Saturday drama group.
Oh, mate, we had the same life.
Yes.
I did this as well.
And it was genuinely the first time where I've... I know comedians have that cliched story where I was like, the first time I felt a laugh. Whereas that was genuinely when I used to do this Saturday thing. And me and this other kid were like, he was called Vince McLeod. We were like the youngest kid.
I'm telling you now, he wasn't.
Was he not called Vince McLeod?
No.
What?
He told you he was called Vince McLeod.
He had really great, like, hair curtains. In fact, it's not the first time I ever felt a laugh on stage. The first time I felt a laugh that was that I created myself. The first laugh I ever felt on stage, this is horrific. It's genuinely the first memory I have in my life was at on stage. I was, I think, 5 years old, and I was on stage in Felixstowe at the Wombles Live. And I basically, they asked for two volunteers, and me and this other kid got up, and they had to, you know, the Wombles are into, like, recycling and shit. Very much
absolutely damning the Wombles here.
You know,
those poxy little Wombles.
Damn Wombles. They then had this basket of cans, and we had to get as many cans out of this basket using this magnet and put them into your own basket. And the person with the most cans wins. Wins the prize.
Got it.
So the Wombles like, go. Whatever. And we go. And using this magnet, and I genuinely remember, plain as day, my mind switching on because the magnet just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. I looked over at this other kid, and he was putting so many cans in his basket using his magnet.
Mate.
And I was just like, I just remember mine not working, and I just couldn't understand it. And I looked up at the Womble, and he's just like going,
yeah.
And I looked at the audience, and they were all really laughing. And it turned out that was the twist.
Yeah, you got wombled.
I got wombled.
I hate to say it to you.
I got wombled.
Absolutely done over by a couple of wombles.
And
there.
I genuinely
that is so cruel. Bullying a kid.
They gave me the prize. That was the twist. That because
double twist.
They gave me the prize. Because obviously, you know, they damaged a child's life.
Now you have to become a comedian.
I had to become a comedian to right that wrong.
And it's that bit of womble misbehaviour and that failure on your part, which is why you're yet to appear on Taskmaster.
Yes. Yes.
They've seen what you're capable of in the final task.
God damn
it's
it.
It's going to be terrible. We can't have too many people like that. If you do Taskmaster, you're going to be thinking about that the whole time.
The whole goddamn time.
You're going to be going, oh God, Alex Horn. He was in that Womble suit all along. He's back to haunt me.
I think my life is basically all pointing towards taking vengeance on a fucking Womble.
But you wrote this play.
I wrote this play. I was about 12 years old. I was in this drama group and they asked for people to submit plays. And there was £250 prize. I believe, I could be wrong, but that's how much I remember. Maybe it was 150. 250 sounds like quite a lot, actually. You know,
that's like, well. What you were in? Is this in Felixstowe?
No, this is Bristol.
Okay.
So I'm like 12 years old, and so me and my mum we wrote a play together.
That's such a you thing to do.
And apparently, I came up with the idea. I was speaking to my mum about it this morning. I wrote it out, and then she helped me write it on the computer because she was someone that she could touch type.
Great.
Do you remember when that was a thing?
Yes.
Now we can all just touch type because it's like, that's normal. We all just learn how to...
There was that little period where everyone was like, can you touch type? How many words a minute?
Yeah. My mum, like, knew to, like, put her fingers back to the same place in the middle of the keyboard. She used those little, like, keyboard nipples.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where, like, you got so you can know where... So she doesn't leave... Still to this day, doesn't look. She just fucking types away.
You're currently holding a handwritten thing.
I'm currently writing a handwritten thing. So this...
Did your mum type this up?
My mum typed this up, but this is the original documents. In fact, it's not the
original
documents.
It's not at all. It's a photo of the original documents that we have printed.
Original documents because I've modernised it.
We've printed them, by the way, for the benefit of the listener, because ever since Joel had a run-in with some Wombles, he refuses to recycle. Okay? He does not give a fuck about the environment and waste.
I don't care about that stuff. Wombles.
Put it in the ground where the Wombles live. That's
exactly
what he says.
I always just like go to Wimbledon and just throw rubbish out my window. Recycle this, dickheads. And I know it's not recyclable, you know? It'll be like something that's got two different types of plastic on it.
Yeah, black plastic as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Impossible.
Food stuff that's still, you know, it'd be like milk.
Rinsed it out.
I haven't washed it out. Fuck you, Wombles. So, it's called Cedar Valley Nursing Home.
Okay, why is it called that?
I don't know.
It's my duty as an interviewer here to not accept "I don't know" as an answer for why it's called, why the play is called what it is.
Cedar Valley Nursing Home is the name of the nursing home that it is based.
And you just randomly came up with Cedar Valley.
Yeah.
What do you think?
For a 12-year-old kid, I've put it together quite amazingly. I've not only got a full script, I've also got a character breakdown. I've got a full synopsis.
Fuck.
And bear in mind, the actual play is 4 pages long.
So there's almost as much exterior documents towards the play than there is of actual play content.
Yeah.
Great. So come on, what do you want to tell us first? Synopsis or character breakdown?
We'll do synopsis first. It starts when Simon is in his office talking to an agent about how to kill Martha. Okay, we're in deep.
Okay, that's the first sentence.
It starts when Simon is in his office talking to an agent about how to kill Martha. They decide to inject a vast amount of poison.
Not fucking about, is he, Simon?
Simon is not effing about. He's going to inject a vast amount of poison into her body.
Ah, classic.
Yes.
Straight into the body, is it? Where do you want to inject this? Probably into the body.
Probably into the body, yep. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter where it goes because it's so vast.
As long as you hit the body,
it's
I think it'll
just,
be fine.
You know. Freddie walks in and hears them talking about Martha and poison. He didn't put two and two together himself. So he went and told George and Bridget. They knew straight away that something was going on. So they investigate. Everyone was listening outside Simon's door about this killing. I definitely said they would strike tomorrow at midday when she's asleep. So the next morning, they all got together and knocked on Simon's door. They all moved in, hitting Simon with, and this is great, I've added in hitting Simon and then I've put an extra bit above it. It says Simon and his client.
Client.
Simon is not alone. He has a client there too. hitting Simon and his client with walking sticks and blind sticks, which is, that's a complicated.
Yes.
Because how would they see who is who?
Yeah. They'd be directed.
I mean, if this was a comedy sketch, the people with the blind sticks would be hitting someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Other side of the room.
They have no idea who they're hitting. They have no idea where they are. And eventually, Simon's got a team now. It's growing.
Fucking hell, he's got an agent, he's got clients, he's got a team. He's KSI.
Eventually, Simon's team give up and got driven out of the home. George takes over and they all live as happily as they can after.
Oh, yeah. I like that a lot. As happily as they can. Like, well, we just absolutely brutalised a man, so I can't live completely blissfully.
I love
but as happily
that.
As I can, and there's only a few more days to see out, because we're in this nursing home, so it doesn't matter too much. Right, a couple of questions.
Here we go.
What's the name of the first chap who comes in and interrupts? So Simon's in there, and then someone comes in.
Freddie.
Right, is Freddie a fucking idiot? Because Freddie hears about Martha and poison and doesn't put two and two together.
Yeah, so this is...
And then he goes and chats to the other people and they go, oh, he's probably going to poison Martha. And he goes, oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Reece, actually.
Where are they going to put the poison? In the body?
Might help you with this feeling. You know what helped? The character breakdown.
Oh, God, okay. If it turns out that Freddie's got a serious illness, I'm going to be so upset.
Okay, Cedar Valley Nursing Home. We got Simon, straight up top. A smarmy person, and then I've added in the middle, young.
Mm.
He's a young person. Oh, Reese, you would play this guy.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
You would absolutely
play
Simon.
I was the one who said that, but I'll take it.
Oh, you know who reminds me of a smarmy young person?
Brackets young. Oh, God, you know who could be perfect for that?
A smarmy young person who owns the home. Okay. Then we've got I've got the rest of the character breakdown. I've put sort of almost like a bracket around all of the rest of them, and I've said all of these people are OAPs.
Yeah, well, classic.
Okay,
I'd expect that.
We've got Martha, an old person who's always asleep.
Okay.
Freddie, an old person who always tells story about when he was in the war. Oh, you feel bad about taking the piss out of Freddie now? He's a fucking hero.
If you've been in the war, right?
PTSD.
You should have seen enough stuff to know that when someone's talking about poison and another person's name, what's about to happen?
Yes. And that's unfortunately...
That's who you want on the front line, is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Freddie, just...
I don't mean to disrespect a veteran here, okay?
No.
But I can't stress enough to the listener, before you leave a review, it's not real.
Bridget. She is really up to date, loves computers and anything electric, but she still is 93 years old. Well done, Bridget.
Yeah, fair play.
Fair play. And weirdly, Bridget is the name of my granny, so I basically couldn't... After two names, I was like, I can't think of another old person
old
name.
Granny.
Let's just go with my granny name.
It's amazing you didn't call her granny, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true. The next person on the list, in fact, wonderful stuff. Yeah, I've written Patrick, which was the name of my grandpa, but I've crossed it out because I thought I can't put both my granny and grandpa. And I've written Bertie, which is the name of my cousin.
I love the creativity of someone who's 12.
Coming up with names is hard, isn't it? He loves any sport and is playing golf most of the time.
Okay, that checks out.
That's Bertie. Sylvester. Yeah, he comes from America. And Schmidt, he comes from...
Schmidt.
Guess where Schmidt comes from? Germany. Of course he does. Of course he does.
Schmidt, D with a D.
S-C-H-M-I-D-T, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good knowledge, I'd say.
Actually pretty good, considering spell she.
Did you have a German uncle?
No, I didn't.
Obviously, how did you come up with that one? How are you this uncreative, but then you got Schmidt in your locker?
I know. I couldn't think of any old people I had to... use my own grandparents' names, but I somehow plucked Schmidt out of nowhere.
Would that have been your mum contributing?
Maybe.
Saying, let's mix it up a bit. Pop a Schmidt in there.
I thought, Mum, give me a German name.
Yeah. And so the Schmidt is, what does it say about Schmidt? German?
He comes from Germany and they're always arguing about the wars, who won which battle. Well, we know who won.
Right, oh, wow, so you made it political.
I've made it fucking political early doors, man.
And you're the most apolitical comedian I've ever seen now.
I think this is my most political work.
This is groundbreaking for you. What a revelation this is.
And this, you know, this won 250 quid, basically.
What are you doing? This is clearly your calling.
I'm in the wrong game, man. I'm in the absolute wrong game. I could be locking horns with Nish Kumar.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, and then we've got lastly George. He's the clever one, and he knows Simon is up to something.
Yeah, George. Do we have an age for George? We know he's OAP. He's one of the OAPs.
I think so. Yeah, he's definitely in the OAP bracket. So,
what my big takeaway from that list of characters is that of all of them, Martha is the one you least need to poison because it sounds like she's already dead.
Yeah,
because
it
all
does.
You put is she's asleep all the time.
Yeah,
we don't know anything else about her.
Yeah.
I mean, poison someone else.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So basically, I think the premise of this is that Simon is trying to steal their money from their will.
Okay.
So
this is deep and dark.
It's
for,
so deep for a 12-year-old.
There's
one more character, Doyle, which I changed from Stuart. It was originally Stuart, and I crossed it out, and I made him Doyle. One of Simon's people to try and kill Martha. Spy-like sneaky.
I could play that part as well.
You could play that part too.
Smarmy sneaky. Oh, the S words.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the synopsis.
Fascinating.
Character breakdown. Okay, right, let's go in. Let's see how it goes.
See where we get to. Okay.
Knock, knock.
Come in.
Stuart walks in with suitcase. Sorry, Doyle. You wanted to see me, sir.
Ah, yes, of course. I wanted to tell you that I'm in her will now, so all we have to do now is inject the poison slowly into Martha's arm. Ah, Freddy, did you hear any of that by any chance?
Yes, of course I did. Did you know when I was in the war, you had to listen very carefully for the spies and people like that? I've got pretty good hearing, you know.
Yes, of course you have. Now, can you leave me and my friend here alone, please?
Yes. All I wanted to tell you... was that, I can't remember now. I always forget what I'm saying. It was because when I had just joined the forces, I crashed my tank into another tank, and I think that's why I failed my tank test. Oh, well, I'll be falling out now. Salutes and walks out of the door. Freddy walks back in.
As I was saying, you will inject 10 milliliters of arsenic into her body. Ah, Freddy, what can we do for you this time?
I can remember this time. I wanted to say that something about the flies. Was it pies? No, wait, forgotten again, never mind. Walks out to see George and Bridget. I'm really getting into this character. George says, did you tell him? And Freddy says, yes, I think so, but he was talking to this man about Martha and 10 miles of elastic that would make a lot of knickers.
I think he's saying, that would make a lot of knickers. 10 miles of elastic, that would make a lot of knickers.
That would make sense, that's better. 10 miles of elastic, that would make a lot of knickers. At that point, I had no idea about knickers.
No, I'm guessing that was one of your mum's classic lines.
Yeah. Then Bridget says, wait a minute. Did he say anything else? That seems a bit odd. Then Freddy goes, no, why are you suspicious? Of course, in the war, you had to be suspicious of everyone, just in case spies might be lurking around. The walls have ears, you know. Then you be Bridget.
Gets out handheld computer. What he said is right. 10 miles of elastic means 7,554 pairs of size 14 Y-fronts. What would he need that for, I wonder?
Perhaps he's going to stage a takeover bid.
At Marks and Spencer.
At Marks and Spencer.
Wow, it actually says M and Spencer.
This is great stuff, Joel. Perhaps he's going to stage a takeover bid at Marks and Spencer. And then George says, yes, of course he is, Freddy. Then George says again, let's go and ask Martha what 10 miles of elastic has to do with her.
Is that the end of the scene? That's a bit of a cliffhanger.
It's a bit of a cliffhanger. Let's go in with the scene two now.
I think we've got to save scene two and scene three. We've got to put a bit of production under scene two and scene three. It's too tense.
Yeah, it's so tense.
But that does mean in the meantime I have to score you.
Okay.
So just on what I've heard so far.
Yep.
So there's a lot of... There's some gags in here.
Ooh.
I don't want to be rude, but this is gaggier than your stuff now.
It really is. That bit about the tank.
The tank test.
When I hit a tank into another tank, and that's when I failed my tank test.
I was going to take the piss out of you for saying tank test, and then you were like, this is funny stuff. I was like, oh, you meant it as a joke at the time.
Yeah.
Fair play. Tank test. The categories I have to score you on are originality, pure teen horniness, and Mickey Mouse Club / Ryan Gosling Ryan Goose score, which is how much potential does it show for who you are now. So
yes.
Originality... I'm going to give you a 5 out of 5.
Thanks.
Because I think this is an absolutely absurd thing to be writing.
Yes.
At the age you were, at 12.
Yeah.
You've got absolutely no experience of nursing homes.
No. Nope.
I mean, I suppose you should lose a point for the names. I'm going to be generous and keep it as a 5. You should lose a point for the original. You can't think of a single old person's name
no,
except your grandparents.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Keep it with 5 out of 5. There's a lot of stuff in there. I've never heard tank test before in my life. The idea of a tank crashing into another tank. Being the problem. I mean, mental.
Tank test. Absolutely insane image. Tank Test is also a great name for a band.
Fair enough. But I can see why you were so original, because you had friends called Vince McLeod and Willem.
Yeah.
And yet you couldn't think of a name. Anyway, pure teen horniness. Well, it's the least horny thing I've heard
for
a long time.
Unless you sort of take inject poison.
Inject poison and body. You just say body. I'll give you a 1.
Okay, thank you.
Body. It felt like you just wanted to use that word.
I feel like I wasn't at the age where horniness was an option yet.
Sure.
It was about to start.
Yeah.
And oh my God, in a year's time, I would not be writing stories about old people's home. It would be about me fucking everybody in that old people's home.
Okay. Yeah, you're not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet.
So we'll give it a 1. Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score. How much potential it show for who you are now? I'm going to give it, it's got to be pretty low, that. It's not similar at all to anything you now do.
It's better than anything.
The writing is so different. The whole vibe, the dialogue. I've not read a script that you've written. I don't know if it's similar to this. But
very similar vibes.
There's these gags about this old man overhearing stuff. You did make a joke about blind sticks before. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's some similarities.
There's also the Marks and Spencer,
Marks
the
and
knickers
Spencer's
little thing.
Knickers.
There's a tangent of the knickers.
It doesn't feel like Joel Dommett or Josh Dammit to me. Mm-hmm. So... I'll give it a 2.
Thank you.
Because it exhibits comedy, at least. Yep. Exhibits some comedy.
Yep.
So that means 8, I think, I believe. That was
Thank
an
you.
8. It was a 5, a 1, and a 2. You get 8 out of 15.
Yes.
Very respectable score.
I'll take that.
And now, in the meantime, I have to read you a piece that you then grade.
Yes, please.
Joel, this is a poem I wrote when I was, I think, 16.
I think when you say think 16, you mean 21, right?
The date on my computer was, like, I think it was 2007.
Yeah.
I think it said 2007 last opened.
Last.
So I read it today. Time exceeds what we perceive to be existence, banality. Because time is an eternity, a distant murmur, a term proceeds. We'll watch the big hand turn a beat and tick and tock and click and clock and start and stop and fly and drop and waste and waste and waste until we're displaced from today. Tick the time away and talk the words we say. But don't discard dramatic endings, bitter fatalities, slim chance mendings, unreal unrest, God deals distress, never-ending chance of life, unless the chance is merely creases dress with romantic outcome. Still, the rest, just fate? What fate? Make no mistake, our fate is own decision-based, and each decision takes another minute. With it comes more seconds still, as time creaks endlessly, until...
Oh, my God.
How do you feel?
I feel like we... would not have got on until... Yeah, that's amazing.
The reason I chose to read this to you... It's not... Well, fuck off, is it amazing?
May, you can pretend that it's not amazing. It's
There's
amazing.
There's nothing in it. There doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but that's... It's just nothing means anything until you're 30. So, like, it's like... We all pretend that, like, these rooted... Like, yeah. Come on, guys, I missed Hollyoaks for this. That doesn't mean anything. I said it for 7 years when I first walked on stage. It's great. Why didn't you become a rapper?
Oh, because of the bad content I just read you.
No, but that's not... Mate, that would...
It's called, very appropriately... Now, bear in mind, I didn't know the subject matter of your play. This poem is called Grandfather Clock.
Oh, mate.
Genuinely, the file... I don't know why. I know it's about time. I don't know why it's called Grandfather Clock. The reason I read it to you is because, to me, when I read it, it reminded me... I would have been influenced by Linkin Park, I think. I think if you just do it in that voice...
Yeah.
Time exceeds what we perceive to be.
Yeah.
Existence.
Yeah.
It could easily have a...
It's like so good because you're like, you know, if you're 16, you're not just rhyming the end of the line with the end of the line. Like you're that advanced.
Well, that's all I clearly from this podcast, what I've learned is all I cared about at 16 was just making it rhyme so much.
But it's
absolutely, nothing connects, it's meaningless.
But like at 16, I was in a band when I was 16 and all I would be like, the tide is turning. The hair is burning.
Right.
That would be what I would do as a thing. It would just be end of the line rhymes.
I know, but it rhymes, but it's unreal unrest. God deals distress.
Yes,
mate. What the fuck is that?
Mate, that is a fucking lyric. That's what it is.
Yeah, fair enough. I need your score. First of all, I need originality. Out of five, please.
I think it's basically like the synopsis of a Christopher Nolan movie. Christopher Nolan is obsessed
with
time.
Doesn't make sense, you mean?
Doesn't make sense.
And it's about time.
It's basically a Christopher Nolan movie. I think it's great. It's about time. Time is ticking on, you know? Everyone grows old. Everyone's going to die at some point. And you know what? Some people have written good poetry before they go.
And I guess I was the first person to ever say that.
I think you were the first person to ever discover mortality.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 5 for originality.
Fucking hell. Pure teen horniness?
There's not much horniness in that. There's not much horniness in death unless that's your thing. Again, you can look on Pornhub. I'm sure there is stuff on there. But yeah, there's not much teen horniness. I'm going to say 1. Because, did you read these poems to, like, girls in school?
Not this one, but there are other ones that I have talked about in previous episodes about reading to people, writing about people, reading to people, handing to people, putting through their letterbox in the dead of night.
Mate, I would, if I was a lady, I would have absolutely taken you to the cinema... And
so that I shut the fuck up for it.
So
you
just shut the fuck up for a little bit.
So watch this Christopher Nolan thing, you unoriginal prick.
Yeah.
It's been done. Well, that isn't what happened.
No.
People didn't like this very much, this sort of vibe.
But again, but you're before
People
your time,
really
you should have been a rapper, man.
Braces until really? I was 18. Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score. What are we talking? How much does it represent? What potential does it show for who I am now?
I mean, a huge amount.
Fuck's sake. This is the problem with this show. I regret this format so much, especially this... Just this bit of it in the rating. Every episode I read something I consider to be dog shit and someone goes, "This you could have done that on stage tonight," and I would have gone,
"Mate,
yeah, classic read.
150%. This is like...
Fuck.
I mean, it's not... I'm not going to say it's better than any of your stuff, but it's better than a poem that I would write now. 100%. It's good shit, man.
So what are you giving it for?
That is good
Mickey
shit.
Mouse Club.
So is that a bit...
How much is it me? How much is it show? What I...
It's. I mean, it's very much show. It's that feels like that's like in... That was in your second Edinburgh show.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I don't feel good about what you mean.
No, but it's
great. I know
great.
What you mean.
I really like listening to it. Like, even I don't really know what's going on.
You're still a child. Just like, it's shiny.
I just get excited by the colours, you know? It's just like, yeah.
So out of five, what are you saying?
I'm going to say four.
So, 10. I get a 10.
You get a 10, mate.
So it's 10 to 8. So yeah. I win the episode. But obviously the message of the episode is we are both losers. That's the whole point of the
100%.
Podcast. We need to conclude it now. With your final set piece, which is, what are we doing? Scene two and three.
It's only two pages, to be fair. Also, I should point out, on the sheet of character names, there's a lot of people that just have not featured at all.
Yeah, good point.
Like, where the hell's Schmidt?
Schmidt is not in this.
Schmidt is
he
not
doesn't come
in
up
this.
Once.
Maybe he's died.
Right, scene two.
All right, here we go. Martha is on the bed. In her room, asleep. Of course she fucking is. Doyle walks in, tiptoeing with his suitcase, opens the suitcase on a little table, gets out a syringe, walks over to Martha, and is just about to put the arsenic in her arm when Freddie, George, and Bridget enter. George says, "What are you doing in here, mister?"
I'm her hairdresser. Yes, that's it.
I thought her hairdresser came on Fridays.
This is Freddie.
I thought her hairdresser came on Fridays. It's what day? Wait, what day is it, George?
It's Tuesday, Fred.
Oh, yes. It's Monday today. So you shouldn't be here.
Should.
Shouldn't.
Should.
Shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Should. Hey, you guys, to settle this, we will do a test.
Yes, that will show he's a traitor.
If you're her hairdresser, what does she like to have done to her hair?
Answer that one, Mr. Smart Guy.
crew cut.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Of course she doesn't have a crew cut.
That's a crew cut, Freddy.
Yes, I knew that anyway. She was, she has a perm.
Freddy stops laughing. Martha wakes up. stretches and yawns.
What's going on? Where am I? Oh, I'm in my bedroom. Wow, I just had the most exciting dream. I dreamed that some people were trying to poison me. I don't know where I got that idea from.
Nor do I.
Scene three, back in the corridor and Simon's office. Bridget fiddling around with her handheld computer.
Ah, yes. George, come quick.
What is it, Bridget?
I just worked out on my handheld PC, Infinity, what sounds like elastic and is 10 miles. My likely answers for elastic are plastic, fantastic, sarcastic, and the unlikely answer is arsenic. But 10 miles, we have 10 piles, 10 files, but the unlikely one is probably 10 milliliters.
This is good stuff.
Now I have put the possible answers together to make part of the sentence 10 piles of plastic. No, 10 files of plastic. No. Lights dim, then come back to show.
Time has passed. This is a Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh, shit. And that is the end. That's all we've got. Have you got another page?
I've got one more page.
Oh, fuck. Where's the other page?
Where's the other page?
Oh,
it's the short one.
That?
She says it's in a sleep...
In a sleepy voice. Oh, it's been going on for ages.
Oh, yeah.
She says in a sleepy voice because time has passed.
Time has passed, yeah.
Oh, 10 millilitres of sarcastic? No. 10 millilitres of arsenic? No. Wait. 10 millilitres of arsenic. That goes. Yes. Hooray. Yeehaw! Runs off in excitement, bumps into George.
Wow.
Unbelievable. The classic. It's a classic murder mystery that ends with a yee-haw. You don't see enough of them, do you? And also, I love how it just ends where she just finds out and then just leaves it.
It just leaves it.
Just leaves it.
They never figure out.
Oh, thank God I found it out. Anyway, gotta go to bed.
Oh, my Lord. Turns out, the twist is, they're all American.
They're cowboys.
They're all cowboys.
The twist is, Texas. This is a spaghetti western.
We'd have to read it again and be like, well, we're in Salmon's office.
I know. It's our fault for really.
Middle-aged.
You didn't put it in the character breakdown.
No.
You didn't say. We had a German. We didn't have any Texans.
Darn it.
Joel Dormer, thank you so much for coming in, reading out that play.
Absolutely.
We both did things about time, essentially, about people dying, really.
Hey, you know what? If something you need to take away from this podcast, just, you know what? Know that time is real. This podcast feels like it's taken a lot of time out of my life.
Well, thanks for coming on. There it was, Joel Dommett writing literature about nursing homes when he was but an 11-year-old. What a strange, rollerblading-obsessed little child he was with his weird eggy legs. Egg knees, got eggs on his knees. I can't stress enough, he's left now, I can't stress enough how disgusting those knees were. He made me feel them. They do have eggs on them, and I'm not surprised he got very gently bullied for his weird eggs on his knees. Look, there's a lot of stuff of Joel online where you can see stuff you perhaps shouldn't be able to see. I'd say get in touch with him and ask for a picture of the egg legs. He's already bared enough that he won't be ashamed of just sending you a nice little pic of that. He's probably got an OnlyFans page by now. Get on Joel's OnlyFans, send him a little donation, get yourself a picture of an eggy knee. That's my advice for you. And if you don't want to do that, go and see him on tour. There we go. JoelDommett.com or Google it. I don't know what his website is. He's on tour and he's got a special coming out. The special is an American word for DVD. Essentially, he's got a comedy, hour-long comedy show of him doing stand-up coming out on ITV2, of all places. That will have been on telly by now, but I imagine it's still on ITV Player, the ever-popular ITV Player. So get yourself on there, watch Joel's special, and see if you can see his knees, because they are fucked.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.